Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How much is mom worth? I'm actually talking cold hard cash. I'm not talking about her being priceless because I don't want to hear that BS anymore. You can put a number on what she does, and she deserves that number in salary. I'm going to tell you what it is at 10:20, but first, quick takes.
Minnesota retail sites have until August 1st to comply with a new state law banning cryptocurrency kiosks. That's right, those kiosks that grandma goes to give money to the prince in Liberia are going away. Mm-hmm. The state joined a short list of other states to outlaw the machines amid mounting concerns over fraud and scams. Jordana, first off, none of us really understand crypto anyway. Like, this has been around for a long time, and I feel like nobody really knows what it is. Is this a good protection, or is it slowing down innovation? I mean, look, if people want to create new forms of commerce and currency, I guess that's fine. But do you think it's a good idea to shut down these crypto machines?
Right now it is, because cryptocurrency is digital currency. I don't believe that you can hold it in your hand.
Correct.
So why would you need a machine for it? Why would you need that?
Yeah, because you're turning cash into crypto.
Oh, it's for putting
so
cash
to buy,
in.
So you can go in there and use a credit card or cash to buy cryptocurrency. This is the site at which you would do that.
Okay. So now that I understand that a little bit mm-hmm. better.
So there is a good, I mean, if crypto is going to be a thing that's going to be widely used, mm-hmm. you would need a way to do that. And this is one of the ways to do that is it's an ATM. So instead of going to a bank or doing it online, you go in person to buy crypto from a machine.
Yeah. Eventually, I guess there will be a need for something like this, but because it's being abused so badly in this way that, you know, they're calling grandpa and saying, you know, deposit $10,000 in this crypto machine because I have your grandson hostage, and that's working. I do believe there need to be protections on this. And if there's not a huge need from the crypto community saying we absolutely need this, this absolutely is what's the word I'm looking for? Necessary for our business.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're hearing that. It's not reached the masses yet.
Yeah.
That I think that they're probably, we need to slow our roll and we need to have protections on this for now. And when cryptocurrency becomes more of the mainstream, I understand it's becoming that. Hopefully they will be able to partner with government institutions or banks, so people understand exactly where that money's going and there's less fear and less confusion mm-hmm. about that. So, yeah, these machines at their gas stations or whatever, I think they need to go away.
Yeah.
I've never even seen one.
I haven't either, but I bet we have, though. I bet it's
maybe
next to the lottery machine and the other machine at the gas station, and we just walk by and don't think
about it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Also, who goes into gas stations anymore? Unless you need a fountain soda. But
that's true. Yeah.
I'm going grocery shopping this afternoon, Jordana, and I saw the ad for the store I'm going to.
Can I give you my list? I really need to go, and I have a list, and if you could just go for me.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I have to go to the grocery store.
I charge a lot, though.
I know, right? I have to go. Sorry, go ahead.
The mac and cheese that mm-hmm. we usually buy, which is, you know, it's like, not the normal Kraft. It's like a mm-hmm. different one. It's the white cheddar, and it's mm-hmm. whatever, supposedly healthier.
A little healthier.
It's on like a super sale.
Oh,
it's normally like $1.50 or $2 a package, but they're selling it by the case, and it's 50 cents each.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great deal.
How much do I stock up on?
Because you need at least a case. How much is in a case?
There's 12 in a case. But I could convince myself to buy a lot more because we'll eat. I mean, we don't eat a ton of mac and cheese, but they never go bad.
They never go bad, right?
How
They'll
outlast
the nuclear holocaust.
Because if you, you know, if you, every time something's on sale, you buy, you're going to have to buy a whole shed to house all your extra food.
Well, you have a big house now, you know, so that's, you know, I'm in a small apartment. You're in a, you're in a big house.
True.
If you've got a place in the kitchen where you can buy two cases, I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. It's a screaming deal.
You know? Yeah. So it's like 75% off. Like that's a good deal. So, yeah, I, and you said there's only 12 in a case.
Mm-hmm.
You guys will go through it.
Okay. So, so two cases.
I would say at least two cases
so that's
at this point.
24. Okay.
Yeah. At least two cases.
Okay. I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go for it. A Phi-Ed teacher from Mankato is in hot water. He's been charged after allegedly injuring a student with a basketball. The 31-year-old Prairie Winds Middle School teacher is facing assault charges following allegations that he intentionally struck a sixth-grade student in the face with a ball during a game last month.
Oh, boy.
What's your initial reaction to this? Because obviously we don't, you know, we're not looking at video of this instance. And it's never good to injure a student with a basketball. But boy, I can just, after being a parent and getting so frustrated at so many moments and middle school students, I just, it's not hard to see. Just saying, I love middle school students. They're great, but it's not hard to see how that one's being a brat and the ball's in your hand. And is that terrible that I even say that? Probably.
I almost don't want to speak.
Because you agree.
Because this is so bad. We are just airing all the dirty laundry here today. We are just being so real.
You saying he had it coming?
That kid probably deserved
oh,
it. I hope the parents aren't listening. I'm okay. I say that because that's the inner Jordana saying out loud thoughts that she probably shouldn't say out loud because now she's about to get sued by the kid's parents. So wait, the coach or the Phi-Ed teacher admitted that he nailed the kid with the ball?
Well, no, it's all, this is all alleged. It's a, you know, file, charges being filed. But it happened during a game, so people saw this happen.
Sure. That's a weird thing to happen. I got to be honest, because it's like gym class. It's not like a game. It's like a gym class game, right? It's,
no, I think it's the gym teacher who also coaches the basketball team. Okay. So this is during a game. Although I don't, the details on that are not.
I mean, look, this is really bad. I say tongue in cheek, the kid probably deserved it because you guys know how I feel about young kids. But, and middle schoolers are just awful creatures. They don't even mean to be awful. They just are so wrapped up in their hormones and their age and bullying. And I mean, they're awful creatures. This is terrible that the coach did it. And I'm being totally serious.
It is.
This is terrible. And the coach needs to have, the coach is an adult. And the kid is supposed to screw up and push boundaries. Those are kids' jobs, to make mistakes and push boundaries.
And it's the, it's the Phi-Ed teacher's job to be an adult.
To be
and
an adult.
Stay calm.
Yes. And if the Phi-Ed teacher did this, then they should not be in that position. Maybe they can still be a Phi-Ed teacher, but maybe they shouldn't be coaching. So, because he obviously can't, it's a male, right? He obviously can't control impulses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't nail a kid in the face with a basketball.
No.
Certainly. I mean, that's just wrong. That's wrong all around. So.
If the kid had it coming.
Even if the kid had it coming. Which I know a lot of middle schoolers do.
Yeah, they all do.
But no, you're the grown-up, and in the end, the grown-up needs to, and the person in the position of power.
Correct.
And that person did the wrong thing. Wait, is he getting fired, did you say?
The charges are announced, so they're, you know, we don't know yet if this person's losing their job.
I mean, who among us hasn't wanted to whip somebody in the face with a ball?
Yeah, I know, but that's like the definition of being an adult is you don't whip the person in the ball, even if they have it coming, even if you should, even if you want to. You take a deep breath and you do not do that.
Every day that you do not stab somebody is a victory.
It's a win.
You can go to bed with your head held high. You didn't murder anybody that day or throw a basketball at them.
Governor Tim Walz has signed a new law increasing both the penalties and age limits for anyone wanting to buy or sell kratom in Minnesota. Kratom, a supplement sold as an energy booster, mood lifter, pain reliever, and a remedy for symptoms of quitting opioids, said to have an opioid-like high if taken in high doses. However, there is a mounting health and safety concerns about kratom, which is made from a plant indigenous to Southeast Asia. This is a drug, I guess, a recreational drug available at many convenience stores and smoke shops. Jor, I have heard the word kratom, but I don't know anybody who's used it and don't really know anything about it. Apparently, this is a thing, though, that people are getting at least mildly addicted to and using. Are you familiar with this? And do you think, would you support a ban?
I'm sorry, David, how do you spell that? Where can you get it? Where is it available?
Most smoke shops and convenience stores.
No, actually, I had never heard it. That was tongue in cheek. I had never heard of it before. I had to Google it because I knew it was coming up in quick takes. Every now and then he tells me something so I can actually give a smart answer. And I went on the mayoclinic.org, which is a trusted site for medical information. And they do say it is an addictive drug, but also an unregulated drug. People believe that, you know, it is safe to treat medical conditions with kratom, and it is not. The FDA has warned people not to use kratom because it can cause harm. So if the FDA says no, if the Mayo Clinic says this is not a proven thing, you should not be using it. Kratom is, they call kratom unsafe and ineffective. So we need to stop it right now. And if people are getting addicted to it, like, have we learned nothing from the opioid crisis? Have we learned nothing? No. So people shouldn't, we shouldn't be putting substances out there that are dangerous to the kids just because they want a bit of a high. So it's unsafe, according to the FDA, and ineffective. And are some people banning it, David? Is that what you said?
No, it's not a ban. It's a raising of the penalty for people who abuse it and raising the age to 21. So you used to be able to buy kratom at 18. Now it's going to be 21 in Minnesota.
Because it's a stimulant.
Correct.
It's not a banned substance. It's out there on the market. But this is just a warning. You don't know how it's going to affect you. It's not FDA approved. So I'd stay away from it.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with them raising the enforcement. I'm fine with them raising the age. We got to.
This country has enough vices. We don't need another one.
That's what I mean. Why put this out there? When we get back, I have been reminding you almost daily that it is Mother's Day on Sunday. So you will have no excuse not to have some flowers, not to have a card, not to plan to see your mother or somebody else's mother. Plan to honor your mother in some way, whether she is still with us or she has passed. But if mom were to get paid for the job of being a stay-at-home mom, how much do you think that job is worth annually? I'm going to give you the answer next.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
When I come here to WCCO Radio every day, this is the job that I do for money. This is the job that pays the bills, that covers the health care, that has a pension and a 401k, and I get paid for the time that I spend here. And I only have one job when I come here. I am a talk show host. I do different tasks, but that's what I do. I entertain you for 3 hours, make public appearances on behalf of WCCO Radio. It's a great gig. But for the last 23 years, I have also had the job of mom. And I didn't make one damn dime doing that job. Well, Good Housekeeping Magazine has used Salary.com's Salary Wizard to calculate the median annual salary of a mother. I'd like you to guess what that would be. If you need a little hint, this year's is up over $5,000 from the 2017 calculation. So like, 10 years ago. In 10 years, we got a $5,000 raise. I've been working at WCCO Radio for 10 years. I never got a $5,000 raise. Okay? So I want you to think about this. Mom is the CEO of the house. She is the judge and the jury. She is an academic advisor. She is a child care provider. She is a private chef, a house cleaner. And I shouldn't just say she. I mean, I'm talking about Mother's Day. So this is when mothers are the mom. I'm not talking about the stay-at-home dads. They do all this stuff too. Okay, where was I? I'm sorry. Private chef, house cleaner. Chauffeur, she is the driver. She's also a laundry worker. How much do you think Good Housekeeping calculated a mother's salary should be annually? I'll tell you. $162,581.
$160,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you surprised by that?
Yes.
$160,000. $162,581. That's the annual salary. If you were, and what they did was they looked at it. Okay, so let's see. What would a tutor make if they were working 2 hours a day after school on kids' homework? What would a child care, like if you're providing full-time child care, would that be? Even child care after school, because that child comes home at 3 p.m. and the child goes to bed at, you know, 8 p.m., whatever it is. Private chef, you have somebody who is making three meals a day or even one meal a day for dinner and, you know, sandwiches for lunch.
Okay, but in all those cases, you're estimating that cost based on a professional who's professionally trained to do all these things.
Correct.
Like, mom is not professionally trained as a tutor or a child care professional or a cook. She's just winging it on all those.
But she's doing it.
She is doing it. Yeah.
She's doing it. Okay. So I don't necessarily think she has to be considered a professional in all of those things. Like, how do you become a professional house cleaner? You clean a lot, you find out what works, and then you're really good at it. Or, I mean, chefs obviously go to school, but, you know, you cook a lot and you do the work. You do the work, the laundry. Right, you don't have to be taught or be a professional at laundry unless you're a dry cleaner. Mom's not dry cleaning, but that's a whole different fee. $162,581. It's a lot, but moms absolutely deserve it. We should think about that. $162,000, that's more than most people that I know make. It's a lot of money, and it's a lot of work. So while you're probably not handing her a check for $162,581 this Sunday, a nice card, a thoughtful activity, and some gratitude, words of gratitude definitely would go a long way. It's 10:29. Has DEI gone too far? The New York Times is getting a slap on the wrist because judges say, yeah, it has. I'll tell you that story next.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know at least two grown-ass white men who have said that they lost jobs to women or specifically somebody of color. I told them to suck it up and stop whining. But now I'm learning and reading that DEI has probably gone too far. And I'd like to know, before I tell you about this New York Times case, have you experienced this? Maybe I should have been more compassionate at the time when these two men explained their situations to me. Have you experienced this in your workplace? Have you seen it happen? Are you a hiring manager and have been specifically told that you're not allowed to hire a certain person or of a certain age or of a certain gender because you are favoring a different age, a different color, or a different gender? You can be anonymous, but I want to know the truth. Diversity, equity, inclusion, i.e. DEI, it was supposed to be about making sure everyone got a fair shake. But this morning, the federal government is saying the New York Times took it a step too far. The Equal Opportunity Commission, EEOC, the Economic Equal Opportunity Commission, is suing the New York Times, claiming they passed over a qualified veteran editor for a promotion just because he was a white man. That's what the EEOC is saying in its lawsuit against the New York Times. They allege the paper was so focused on hitting those diversity targets that they ignored the law, that they said, OK, well, the law is you can't hire somebody of preference, you have to hire the most qualified person. That they ignored the law. So has DEI gotten out of control? This is a hard conversation. I hope people are not going to get offended. If you do, too bad. I want to know the truth. I want to know what you are seeing out there when it comes to DEI, because this involves our federal government and the New York Times. Okay. It's, well, the New York Times is supposed to be a beacon of an organization that shares truth, that does investigative journalism, that does reporting, that, you know, shines the light on injustices. And now they've gotten themselves into this mess. So talk to me about your personal experience. Have you seen this in your workplace? Have you been passed over? Have you been told to hire a certain type of person? I want to hear it all. 651-461-9226. I'll tell you a little bit more. Do you want to jump in or?
Well, yeah, I'll jump in quickly because this is my observation, my non-educated observation.
Okay. That's what I'm asking for, your opinion.
That is that I do believe that in some cases recently, DEI has gone too far,
okay,
right? Where, like the example you said, anecdotally, there's mm-hmm. many others where mm-hmm. organizations, businesses have gone too far and have, you know, hired somebody of a certain color mm-hmm. over like a white mm-hmm. male in this case mm-hmm. because we're trying to do this initiative and we're changing and we're doing. To me, that is a problem, but is not a systemic problem that's across every industry all the time.
Fair.
And the fact that minorities in this country have had the lack of opportunity for decades is a clear systemic problem that we've been fighting against in our country for a long time. Mm-hmm. So both of them are problems. One is a mm-hmm. Few years old, lower level problem or, mm-hmm. Maybe significant, but not this huge systemic,
correct,
like nationwide thing that,
like no white men can ever get a job ever again.
Yes.
That's not happening.
So to say those are equal, say, oh, well, see, DEI is terrible. And that's why, like, sure, it's a problem in some instances, but it pales in comparison to the way minorities have been treated for decades in this country.
Fair. And again, that's why when I heard those stories from those two white men I mentioned, I was like, suck it up. You have had a really good run, old white men. It's been really good for you. You get to make all the laws and get elected and it's, you know, skirt with your loopholes through the IRS and you're owning real estate. Like, it's been a good run.
It's true, but it's not fair to say white men have had a great forever. So you, John, who've worked your whole career, you don't get that upgrade and we don't care about your plight because of all those white men. No.
Yes.
Each person deserves to be treated fairly regardless of how smart. And if the problem was just one person, like, we should fix that problem for that one person, even if this is a smaller problem than the other problem.
Let's remember that life isn't fair, but we do have laws like equal opportunity laws to try to equalize opportunities. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what the EEOC has been set up to do. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. That's why they exist. And it's interesting now that they are going to bat against the federal government for a white man. It seems that the pendulum has swung to the opposite side of DEI, and it's coming to bite it a little bit in the butt. And that's why I asked the question. We have these incidents, like the anecdotal, my example of two of the two white men in my life that were complaining about this. That's anecdotal. We now have a federal lawsuit from the EEOC, but what's happening on the ground? What's happening in your place of business? I want to hear about it. 651-461-9226. Jor, this texter says, everyone gets a fair shake. We are hired on qualifications rather than favoritism toward race and gender. Okay. Someone says, if you have a good work ethic, you should be hired, period, facts. And in our utopic, you know, world of rainbows and butterflies, at least the one I try to live in most of the time, that would happen. That would absolutely happen. I would absolutely love for that to happen, but we know that it doesn't. We know that it doesn't. Somebody's cousin's niece is looking and they have an in. I mean, come on. that happens.
And we also want every single employee to have had a quality education and caring parents that help them and all these other things. And that's just not the case either. The people
Correct.
Start in all sorts of different places, and that impacts who you become and how hireable you are.
Correct. Jordana, I work at a large firm in Minneapolis. We had to create specific percentages of work product by diverse employees for a large client. Wow. So it was mandated by a client that people of a certain, I guess, race, creed, culture, religion, whatever it was, had to work on their project. Very interesting. Jordana, sports broadcasting did the same thing with their sideline reporters. Seems to have become the case also with television news programming. Is this fair? That's from Bruce. You know, I don't know. Because we used to only see white faces on the news. And then we had Connie Chung, who was the first person of color to anchor an evening newscast.
Yeah.
Along with Dan Rather. You know, but and that was breakthrough. That was great to see a person of color.
And wouldn't you say if you were going to start a new TV station, we're doing, you know, Jordana's Channel 10.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say I want to have diverse voices on my station?
Yes, of course.
And intentionally hire people of different backgrounds?
Yes. Well, but that's also something different. People of different backgrounds, and I guess that's because they're different colors or different, you know, genders, they bring different things to the table. This case in the New York Times was like he was a quality person who was already working there and he was passed over.
Yeah.
For a promotion. I think that's why this case has gone so far, because it is very specific and it's a blatant use. It's a blatant example, probably. Again, it hasn't been adjudicated yet, but a blatant example of a white man being passed over for a person of color.
Well, but if you start your new news station, you're hiring five reporters and the top six reporters are all white men, and you go, well, one of those white men is going to lose out. Because I want to have diverse voices.
I want to have diverse voices.
And you in that instance would value someone's diversity over their qualifications.
Yes, because, okay, I have to think that through.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting quandary
it is.
To have as a hiring manager.
And I don't think there's a clear answer.
There isn't, that's it. There isn't a clear answer, but a young black woman will tell a different story than an older white man. And we want it. If news is a little different because you're hearing, you want to hear different perspectives. You want to hear, every human has bias. So for someone to say a reporter doesn't come at it with bias is just a fallacy. But it's good to also get different perspectives, especially in a newsroom. Boy, you want to hear different pitches, different stories from different communities. So that's, and the New York Times is a newsroom. So this person was in the real estate, like a real estate editor. But again, still a newsroom. And real estate has been an issue. What black people have been God, David, I need help with the words today. Have been discriminated against. You were trying to help me and I got there. Discriminated against in real estate since this country, you know, exists. So I understand why diversity, even in something like the real estate column, is necessary. Okay, I see your texts. I said a lot of texts coming in. I'll share them. Has DEI gone too far? In the case of the New York Times, it may have. But what are you seeing on the ground in your workplaces? Call me next. Has DEI gone too far? The Equal Opportunity Commission, Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, says, yeah, according to one case in the New York Times where a white man in the real estate department was passed over for a promotion in favor of somebody else, possibly different gender, different color. It's not listed in the lawsuit. But has it gone too far? I want to know your guys' personal experience. That's why I'm asking. Harold is in Minneapolis. Jump in here, Harold. What's your experience?
I worked and I wasn't directly responsible for hiring, but I know one of the things we got told by our home office is, well, if you want diversity, then where are you advertising? You have, but the other thing is hiring is subjective.
Yeah.
And even if you've got your list of criteria, if you've always hired white men, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to think the white men are.
Harold, did we lose you?
Oh.
Okay.
No, wait. I just went into the tunnel.
Oh, okay. Hit me again. Yeah. Repeat that again, dear.
That if you've always hired white men for a position, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to think that white men are more qualified.
Yes, interesting. That's right. Yeah.
In your example of starting a newspaper, if one of those positions is covering race in America, I find it very hard to believe that a white person is more qualified than a black person.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, absolutely correct. Right. Yeah. Thank you, Harold. Appreciate the call. We have Anonymous from Anoka. Hello, Anonymous from Anoka. That's fun. Jump in here. Has DEI gone too far? What's your experience?
19 years ago, I worked for the capital city of Minnesota, and I worked there for 5 years in a construction job.
Okay.
And the St. Paul paper had a front page ad with the mayor explaining how he wants diversity in the city and the workforce of St. Paul to reflect the population of St. Paul.
Okay.
And I had been there for 5 years and I was part-time and expecting to get a new job, a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that, you don't fit the qualifications.
Really?
Because of my race. And I did contact the EEOC.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to respond. So that was 19 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I'm so sorry. How did that end up, by the way? Did you leave the city or did you get a different...
I have a great job now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it's...
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call. And it's also fascinating to me that at that point, 19 years ago, the city admitted it. They said, I guess we were less politically correct then or less hiding it. They said, oh, you don't fit the qualifications because the qualification right now is diversity and you don't fit that qualification. The question becomes, and this lawsuit may settle, is diversity a qualification that can put you ahead in a job? But, you know, our first caller said, hiring is so subjective. And isn't that true? That's why if you have a choice between somebody who's more diverse and less diverse, whatever, you can always say, we just don't feel you'd fit with the company culture. Or we don't, you know, there's something about just your personality or your energy that we don't think is right for the position. We're going in a different direction. You know, they use all that verbiage, but it could be discrimination. Got another call on the line. Jeff is in Maple Grove. Jeff, how has this affected you?
Well, it's replete in the construction industry. I just had a young woman leave our company to go to another construction firm because that construction firm gets government contracts. And in order to qualify for those government contracts, roads and bridges, things like that, they have to employ a certain number of minorities.
Yes, they do.
And so she got a job that she's holding the stop sign for traffic control at $40 an hour.
Oh, it's a good gig. Wow, $40 an hour.
Well, $40 an hour is a great gig, especially when taxpayers are paying for it. Meanwhile, as a white guy, if I were to apply for that job, I'd be making $20.
Wait. How is that? How can they pay her more than they pay you for the same job?
They need her to keep their numbers sufficient to qualify for government contracts.
Wow. Now that seems illegal almost. But you're saying it's legal?
Well, I'm saying that they need to have certain number of minority representation on job sites in order to qualify for government contracts.
Okay.
So when she applied, they needed her to keep their numbers up. Whereas if I were to apply, they frankly don't need me.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I'm sorry that's happening to your business. But thank you for sharing. This is what I'm trying to uncover here. Thanks for sharing, Jeff. Appreciate it. Wow. Let's see. I hear the one texter saying about the sideline interview for sports teams. There's so many women now asking these questions. They're defaming the sports, women in sports. We're not going to do that. Yeah. My daughter is in charge of her hiring at a company. When she mentioned that she tries to hire minorities if appropriate, when I asked her about this, she said, her thoughts are that this minority has been passed over and not had a chance to prove themselves. And that was about 5 years ago. So, yeah, giving minorities an opportunity is a great thing. It's dicey, friends. It's dicey. We're not going to solve it here on the radio, but I appreciate you guys sharing your experiences. I did learn a lot. When we get back, Dear Jordana, next.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.